A lot of talking today in that way. And Julie's going to come up in a minute, in a few minutes more. And I am now going to transition into a little bit about the bigger picture of our church. The end of May is an interesting time for me in particular. According to the seasonal cycle, it's good because guess what? It's what? It's way more sunny out there now, right? There's this time where the weather's getting warmer, there's new life, our garden, the peas are just like shooting up, and we're just about to plant our tomatoes, and that's a beautiful thing. We're spending more time outdoors, but in the life of this church, it signifies also an end of a fiscal year, financial year, and looking forward to another year. It also is a time where I was installed, plugged in, I don't know what you call that. 3 years ago, Peter handed me this baton, this Bible, and it was 3 years ago. So for me, it's a time of actually looking back and looking ahead, and in more of a bit of a contemplative way. And so I'm going to quickly go through a few things here for us. Our church's vision statement, if you don't know it yet, we have been saying it lots. And that we're a Jesus-centered community creating gracious space through acts of generous love. This is a statement that came out of a breakfast meeting that we had 2.5 years ago with leaders and influencers. Does everyone know that? It wasn't something I made up. I remember inviting life group members, leaders, kids ministry volunteers, Sunday morning greeters, youth leaders, bakers, money counters, and many other people to the meeting to help set the course direction of our church. And in fact, I won't say who, but there was a couple people that said this, remembering inviting someone to the meeting, and their response was, I'm not a leader or an influencer. I'm like, and then they said, are you sure you want me there? I'm like, absolutely, I'm sure I want you there. Because we want to have a broader influence of God is doing in our midst. And this reminds me of that verse in 2 Peter 2:9. It says, you're a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who calls you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. And this is a team thing that we do together. And so when we called the group of people together 2.5 years ago, and some that weren't able to do, then the elders took back and heard all these things. Aaron helped to distill a few things down. And then it was 2 weeks later that we came up with this vision. And then we sent it back to everyone that was there. And then we went, yeah, let's go for it. And so this is where we're at. And so in the past month, I was looking at this at the AGM, and I often thought of that meeting and the cross-section of people that were there. It was out of that meeting that this vision was refined. And for me, I look at that leadership. Sometimes we look at leadership in a way of maybe what does it look like in the business world? Like, how do you get your top leaders? There's some people will use this, like, you want tens in your leadership team. Or, like, you want the right people on the bus. And I look at it a little bit differently, partly because I'm not sure if I'm a 10. Like, my face, yes, but I kind of go, aren't we all moving towards being a 10? How do you get to be a 10? How do you get to be a part of what we're doing? And so for me, I see it less of, let's get like visionaries, let's get all these people. I'm like, how about we take it this way? How about the cross-section, if you take a cone and put it on an angle, and if the cross-section of our, this is where most of the group of our people are, and if you take a cross-section of that cone and then you turn and look inside, would that be the same as the cross-section of the tip or the smaller group of leaders? Meaning, I don't want people around me that always say yes all the time. We want to have opportunity to do, in fact, what Julie was saying about what real faith looks like. Struggle, work through some things, have great dialogue, have an opportunity to maybe argue with one another. And I can say that we've actually been able to do that and in a healthy way. I think one of the strengths in the last couple of years, 3 years, is that I think we have brought some relational health to our church. And that's a beautiful thing. And we're hoping that that cross-section here then, as we struggle and as a leadership team, as we love each other, as we look at the big scale things and we work, that cross-section will then also look like the cross-section of the wider community as well. So we want a bigger swath of people in that way. We're going to be voting on Irv earlier, and that's a wonderful thing. And some of you saw in the email about how he was stirred up to be a leader again, about what Jesse said one time sharing. And I wonder, there's more like that that could be a part of this as well. I want to lean into a little bit, and we're not going to have time to unpack this, but why? I love the fact that we are a Jesus-centered community. That's our first thing. We're not just a community. We're a Jesus-centered community. And Colossians 1, 15 to 20 speaks about this. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't, such as thrones and kingdoms and rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, the supreme, over all who rise from the dead. So he is the first in everything. For God in his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This is why we're a Jesus-centered community. Because if we really want to try to understand who God looks like best, it's Jesus. And this is how we unpack, how do we even live out our own ethic of love? It's